It fails.
So keep the vote.
What is the vote?
It's 11 to 9.
Sorry, I have to ask.
10 yes.
There are 10 yes.
Didn't say.
Let's
redo it then.
So no, 9-10 it fails.
Who is?
9
yes. Ask the people who voted yes to raise their hands.
So
let's keep it down. Let's hear the announcement from the secretary of the board, please.
It's okay.
It doesn't matter. It fails.
If it's a tie, it still fails, so it doesn't matter.
It still fails.
Okay.
So it's 11 now, 10 yes, or 4.
Ten yes.
11 no.
Okay,
10 yes.
11 no.
Okay, so the motion fails. Now we're back to the main motion.
I think I'm next on the stack.
You are.
So I think we should end this conversation, but I just want the people who voted for that amendment and who opposed the motion to really ask themselves what the hell they're doing here. I mean, imagine this were the board of the Hearst newspapers. The people on the board of the Hearst newspapers would be embarrassed to vote for a motion like that and would be embarrassed to vote against Brian's motion. I mean, this is so core that it is just amazing to me that people think it's okay to oppose a journalist's right to write what he or she wants and not to present sources. I mean, come on, there's stuff on the air every day, as Brian said, that we could think of as poor journalism, bad opinions. Is that our job to censor KPFA? I mean, it's just unbelievable if people think that way. You shouldn't be on the board of a media organization if that's your point of view. It's just reactionary to the core, contrary to the First Amendment. When we talk about the First Amendment, it has to do with the rights of the people you disagree with. I mean, hell, everybody's in favor of the rights they agree with. The reason you have these kinds of rules is to protect those you disagree with. It's absurd to hear some of the things that people are saying. I don't know what else to say. Henry, you should know better. You were a journalist.
Point of personal privilege?
No. My motion didn't censor anybody. It called on them to respect sound journalistic principles and their own internal guidelines.
Okay, Diane?
Call the question.
Is there any objection to ending debate? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of the main... Okay. Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Chair, would you make it clear what we're voting on and how
people are
voting? We're
voting on the original motion as proposed by Brian. The amendment proposed by Henry was defeated, so this is the main motion.
If you'd like, I'll read the motion and print copy to the Secretary.
Okay, please do.
The wording of the motion is as follows. The KPFA-LSB calls on the Pacifica National Board to 1. Defend the right of journalists within Pacifica to protect the confidentiality of their sources, and 2. Extend to Pacifica news staff covering internal issues the same editorial autonomy they enjoy when reporting on external issues.
Editorial.
Okay.
Can I hear the word editorial?
Sure. Thank you.
Oh, okay, we're ready for a vote, Mr. Secretary, please. Chandra, what do you have a point of order?
Yeah, right.
I heard the word editorial autonomy.
Chandra, do you have a point of order?
Yes. I don't think this motion is relevant to news reporting. It has to do with editorial autonomy. And as Brian stated in his
Chandra,
motion...
you can just vote. It's not a point of order. You vote the way you feel.
He misrepresented it.
Okay.
All right. Let's go for the vote.
Yes, call the roll, please.
Okay. All right. Tracy?
Okay, point of information is in order.
It's a question.
So So I just want to clarify, the motion then is specifying that editorial autonomy consists of reporting personnel confidential matters of the Pacifica Foundation that are protected. I'm asking if that's in the definition
Quiet,
of editorial autonomy. I'm asking Brian. Is that how you're defining editorial
Quiet,
autonomy?
Quiet, please.
Because I don't know how I want to vote until you clarify that for me.
Let the qualification be asked.
It's a question of the definition of editorial autonomy.
Yeah, let Brian answer.
The motion says whatever freedoms you have to cover external issues should apply to your coverage
okay.
of internal issues.
Yeah, I can't vote for that as a PND member. No.
Okay, call the roll, please, Mr. Secretary.
So Tracy is no. Okay, Pamela Drake?
Yes.
Diane Andiquez?
Yes.
Sasha is not here. Shay Gendelman?
Yes.
Kang Hallinan?
Yes.
Matt Hallinan?
Yes.
Shonda Hoffman?
No, I don't support editorial comments.
Just the vote, please.
Wilma?
No signing statements.
Wilma?
None of you.
Warren?
Warren?
Oh, you calling on me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, Susan McDonough?
Yes.
Hendy Noah?
No.
Andrea Pritchett?
Yes.
Sriya Sayudi?
I just like Tracy, I have one
question. Wait, Sriya, you need...
No.
Sriya, quiet, please. Let.
None of your business. I don't understand it either.
If this journalist comes tomorrow and say Sriya Sayadi killed somebody, I don't have a reason
Sriya,
to go ask the source.
Sriya, please.
No.
Sriya,
is that
out.
What it includes? Does that what it includes? I don't understand it. So if this person reports, no, I want to ask a question. If they say somebody did this and it's not true, there is no way you could get the sources.
Just vote.
Okay, let's...
Sriya,
you could. Sriya,
no, you should resign because you wasted so much money at the station.
Sriya.
$375 check.
Let's continue with the vote. next voter, please, Mr. Secretary.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Dan Trigo. Dan?
No. I mean, yes.
And Aki is?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Andrea Turner? Is gone. Yeah. Joe Wanzala?
No.
Sharam Agamia?
No.
Naji Ari?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Brian Edward Tickert?
Yes.
Anthony is chair, okay. Vinay?
Yes.
Okay. Laura Privis?
Yes.
Okay. And Rich with us?
Yes.
Okay, so. 14-7, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the motion passes. Next item on the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I have another question for our PNB reps.
Can I have a point of order?
Okay, let's continue with the... Okay, first, Warren has a point of order.
We had another stat before this motion was raised, so I just want to ask if we should go back to that stat to finish that business, because there was discussion going on when this motion came up, and we dealt with the motion all a little long, so are we going back to that before we move on to something else?
Well, we'll have to start afresh on the stack, I'm afraid.
I think also that because we have a 2:45,
30 minutes public comment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do public comment.
Is there anything pressing as to the PNB that people have to ask? Otherwise, let's go to public comment.
Mr. Chair, I believe what I have is pressing, but that's always subjective. I would be willing to table the remainder of the report until after public comment, as long as we agree to resume with the PNB report when public comment has concluded.
I'm sorry. But
I believe the question I have to raise is pressing. I don't want to have a debate about it. That's a subjective assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very amenable to suspending the PNB report until after public comment, so we ensure we have a legal public comment window if there's time remaining before our executive session. I would want an agreement that the PNB report is what we resume with.
Any objection?
I have a point of information. Is it because it says on the agenda that 2:45 is a executive session? My understanding is that Arlene was going to be here to speak with us. So does that resumption of that, where on the agenda does that fall? I'm unclear.
I thought the,
because if we have time certain 30 minutes of public comment, and we also have time certain executive session, I'm not sure where we would resume this.
Let me.
Come after
what? Brian.
Maybe I can be helpful about our
hierarchy. Is it after
of
executive
news.
Wait. Come on. Brian, you have the floor.
Maybe I can be helpful about our hierarchy of news. Our bylaws require us to have at least half an hour of public comment if there's, in fact, half an hour's worth. So if that pushes past 2:45, which it could, we have to delay the executive session. Anything else delaying the executive session because we agreed to set a special order at a specific time would require a two-thirds vote of the body.
Okay, is there any objection to...
So the only way this comes back up today is if public comment wraps up before 2:45 or if the body votes by two-thirds to delay the executive session. Does that make sense?
Okay, does anyone object to suspending the PNB report to allow time for public comment? Okay, let's move to public comment. Werner Hertz, you're first.
Thank you.
There appear to be only a small number of people, so we can give you 3 minutes.
I've been involved in this struggle for many years, probably close to 25. And I want to denounce all the people who are part of the concerned listeners that you are traitors to the cause of Lou Hill. You are supporting the reason why we went to war, 9/11. Which is a big, big lie. It never happened the way it was conjectured. And I want to include my denouncement of Brian Edward Teeker, to whom I reported two times that there was a 20 times size oil find off the coast of Port-au-Prince in Haiti. And he did not forward that information to the news department. And this oil find was the reason for the huge earthquake that was triggered by hydraulic fracturing, which was deliberately set to kill as many people in Haiti as possible. And this oil field is still, the people in KPFA are still ignorant of this oil field. And it's on Google and you can check it. And I want to say that KPFA needs to go way beyond protesting. We are at a state where we need to replace the gangsters who have usurped the power of wealth in order to create the kind of disastrous conditions that we live under today. We should go way beyond protesting. And Lou Hill would be outraged by the level of politics that many of you are involved with. You don't know what the hell is going on in this world. You are made ignorant by Pacifica and by Pacifica News and so forth. You are ignorant. We need a revolution.
Okay, Dave Heller is next.
Okay, the last LSB meeting, one of the members of the board here was when there was public comment and people from the public were talking about things that happened in the executive session, this person is going, mm-hmm, that's right. And to me, that is a violation of your confidentiality agreement. And you should be very careful about your reactions, because exposing yourself like that could get you kicked off the board. Now, yes, it was videotaped. Now, in terms of our departed, soon to be departed executive, general manager, and I'm speaking to all you people here, let's try to find somebody who actually believes in a democratic station, believes in democracy, believes in fair elections, believes in supporting UPSO, bringing UPSO back, believes in actually coming to LSB meetings and giving a general manager's report, because that's part of the job, okay? And maybe, just maybe, some of the 5 or 7,000 people that we've lost as members of the station, when we get, you know, better programs than letters from the DNC or, what is it, letters from the DNC or... Oh, yeah. Right, letters from Washington. You know, maybe we can get something that actually challenges the establishment rather than just report what they want to hear, you know. Because what I get is, you know, a lot of people I talk to just stop supporting the station because it's turned into milquetoast. So I also address this to the executive director who just walked in. You know, let's have a democratic station, not this, you know. And let's have an actual you know what I'm talking about, the not the station board, but the program director. You know, let's have a democratic program directorship. And okay, thank you.
Mara's next.
Okay, so we now know that the general manager is terminated, actually. And but what we don't know is we don't know on what basis, because that information was in executive session. But in spite of that, people who revealed that before the announcement was out were also mobilizing to support the general manager. And the bases that they used, we don't know if it really had anything to do with the decision against her continuing. But a lot of opinions were put out, both in the last public comments at the LSB on Indy Bay, and as people have noted on the news, both morning and evening on Friday. And I feel that some of that information should be countered, although I don't like to get into a discussion because I think it's kind of a side issue. But anyways, there are things that I think need to be said. And primarily, it's that it was mentioned that most of the majority of the paid staff supported her and were against this firing, if we can call it that. But as somebody has already mentioned here today, there was a lack of confidence statement that was put out in the fall of 2008 following, I think it was, her derecognition of UPSO right before an election, which made it very confusing as to who was able to vote or not, and was considered very outrageous because UPSO had been getting itself together and was about to have its own vote. Anyway, I have three. I just want you to know that there these three documents exist. One One is the statement of no confidence, which, as somebody mentioned, was signed by 74 people, mostly or totally staff members. Then that actually had been preceded by an open letter from the
30
staff.
30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Skip that. And there was also a letter that was signed by 21 people, mostly listeners, giving reasons for why they thought that the permanent appointment of Lemlem Regio should be reversed. And it included things like it was a blow to the democratic function of KPFA.
Okay, thank you, Mara.
And many other points which I wish I had time to present to you. But anyway, these were reasons why people did not support her general managership.
Okay, thank you. Daniel Borgstrom.
Hello, my name's Daniel. There was a lengthy discussion on this, but still I'd like to say something about that. Some members of the news department are quite famous for reading reports right off the APA wire. There has been a problem with that. Most recently, they read something that was not off the APA wire. There's also a problem with that. As we all know, the APA wire comes out with stuff that is biased, twisted, inaccurate, etc. And this thing that was said the other day was also quite biased, but there's also another thing about it. We're in a fund drive, or at least I think we are. Now, yeah. Yes, we're supposed to be, and we have pledges out. People are, we hope, going to fulfill those pledges. Now, how is this announcement that was made the other day going to affect this? How are people who made pledges going to respond? I imagine we're going to lose some of those. Are we going to lose $25? Are we going to lose $200, $1,000, or what? I think we ought to think about that. Now, maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, I understand there's a 375K check that was just left stuck in the drawer. Maybe that, still haven't heard full story on that, but I understand some people think it doesn't matter. These things don't matter. Well, why do we have fund drives? Why do we raise money for KPFA? Does it matter? How serious are we about any of this? And also, and on another subject, I also want to say something about how we handle news reports. Well, we know that on the air we cannot say certain words. I think there's about 7 of them. And in addition to that, there are certain things which I discretion we don't say. Like one time I found out, heard something from the executive session of a union. Well, it was really great. I wanted to say it. Well, and I think we've all been in that position. But good discretion is you just don't say those things that you're not supposed to say. I mean, we show discretion. There is such a thing. That's just part of decency. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Virginia Browning next.
Okay, first I'm just going to read something from a listener from a few years ago. Raising the questions of the, quote, morale and the, quote, hardworking and underpaid staff, end quote, is an indicator of your misguided views. The morale of the staff is not uniform. There are staff people who oppose the status quo. Their morale is destroyed by current control by the status quo conservatives within the organization. Those staff members who are so petulant as to need protecting from open debating among the listeners should either get a thicker skin or leave the organization. Staff have their input into the governing process by their election of their representatives. If the staff oppose the majority of listeners, then it is the staff who will have to adapt. The Pacifica staff and programmers have traditionally ignored and demeaned any listeners who disagreed with them. This attitude is what is destructive and does not need to be enshrined by you. This was after during the 2007 election when some of the statements that were critical of the management and the way the election was being run and not run fairly, when those statements were being disallowed from being read by listeners. And one of your board members, Dan Siegel here, who was the interim executive director, allowed his biased statement and he conflated that with this racist hate speech in another station. He did that purposely to mislead people. People on this board, probably most of us are progressive in most of our views, so it's confusing to a lot of people why there's so much controversy here. But the thing is, there's a disagreement about the way this board is run. Some people feel there should be listener oversight. It's proper to have some listener oversight, so to prevent the thing that happened in 99 again. People worked damned hard to get bylaws in place. Maybe they're not perfect, but unless there's at least a town hall meeting or some ways for people to discuss this, and it's not the way to do it is not for a few little self-chosen people, however great they may be in other areas, Miss Nail Filer friend over there and others. You know, any means necessary is not the way to do it. There needs to be listener oversight. Some of you don't know anything about KPFA except that you love to listen like I do. So you ran for the board here. You got on this board because your friends, you know, or in unions, you think that the only way to run unions is by a small coterie of people on the top. It's not the only way to do things. There needs to be an involvement by community members who are also, quote, stakeholders in community radio stations and in the community.
Okay, thank you, Virginia. John Sheridan, followed by Richard Phelps.
Thank you. Yeah, hello. I first wanted to thank the LSB for their vote in executive session to remove the current general manager from KPFA. I'm sure this was a very serious and very sobering decision. If the story that's been on the list serves, that is true, that the current KPFA general manager was given a very large amount of money, as much as $375,000, and did not deposit it for 13 months, then this is one of the most outrageous acts of financial irresponsibility, incompetence, and manipulation I have ever heard of in a nonprofit. I posited this hypothetically to the director of another nonprofit corporation, without naming names, and after her eyes got, you know, back to normal, she said, "Oh no, they wouldn't fire me for that. They would kill me, and it would just be a matter of where to dispose of my body." So, I'm sort of curious about the closeness of the vote. And speaking of that, I listened online last month to last month's public comment at the LSB, and I heard a mewling, self-serving, and pathetic display by some KPFA staff and their fellow travelers in support of Lem Regio. If the charge is true about that check, then these staff members and their concerned listener shills on the LSB are complicit in this deceit and this incompetence. To condone and support this is beyond believable, and recent remarks by Eileen Alfender and Mark Miracle using the airways to denigrate the vote to remove the GM are a symptom of the dysfunction and rot that is obviously deeply ingrained at KPFA. I defy anyone justifying holding on to $375,000 for 13 months while staff positions are being cut and hours are being cut as anything other than a crazy plot to oust political enemies within the station or for some other unknown, inexplicable reason. It defies any common sense or explanation. It's just insane. And this also goes for any of Lem's enablers or, you know, other fellow travelers. It's just supporting the most grotesque incompetence and political manipulation of money I've ever heard. Al-Fadari and Miracle are using the airwaves to condemn a one-vote majority on the LSB.
30 seconds.
You mean the one-vote majority that we're trying to get in the U.S. Senate, the one-vote majority we're trying to get in the California legislature so that we can pass democratic and reasonable tax laws? This is what they're attacking? I mean, this is it's outrageous. This contempt, the contempt by some of the KPFA staff and their CSL shills are of democratic governance just show how power works at KPFA. It's an insider game. It leads to speculation about the extent of the collusion.
Thank you, Jim.
On the holding back of $370,000. And I want an investigation of this entire matter, and I want to know who knew about this, if anybody, and what the reasons were behind this. It's outrageous.
Okay, thank you. Richard Phelps, then Bob English, then Kurt Gray.
I think what I'm about to say is not going to please a whole lot of people in this room, unfortunately. But this meeting was, you know, kind of horrible example of the way things shouldn't be done. And I'm really concerned about people on either side who are raising issues that don't belong to be raised and delaying things and using up time and just throwing out their political opinions in the middle of some other comment. We've got to stop doing that, folks, whichever side you're on. I'm serious. It's just, it hurts the station. It hurts the network. It hurts any kind of movement toward progressive change. It's basically strictly individualism, and you've got to get it under control, folks. Okay? Please. Now, back to a matter of principle. I unequivocally support reporter shield laws and protection. That's not the issue here. And I don't think we should have ever gone there. And I'm sorry if some people who consider me an ally think I'm not being supportive of them, but I support principles first and people second. And that principle is very important in this society so that we can get information from whistleblowers and other people who know they'll get shot, killed, or fired, or whatever if their names come out. The other side of that coin is this. I worked for an AM radio station for about 3 years. I did 2 news broadcasts a night. If I ever did what these people did with such a pejorative statement about something I was personally involved in, the next day I would have been fired instantly. No question. Gone. The manager would have called me in, Phelps, you can't put your personal shit on the air on the news broadcast. You're gone. That's it. And that's what real stations do when people do stuff like that. KPFA is in a la-la land. People think they can get away with anything and everything they want on the air. You know, it's one thing to make personal comments about things that, oh, I want somebody fired. That's not pretending to be the news. That's somebody stating an opinion. That's free speech. But when you go on the air as a news person and you talk about who supports who and you don't mention the biggest section of staff, the unpaid staff, like they don't exist and they have made statements, in the last 2 elections, the staff has elected 2 against CL, 1-4. Remember that. Last 2 staff elections. So the message is clear out there. They're not happy with the way the station's being run. But when the news people don't even mention that, that's crazy.
And
if you go back to 12-2107, the news people did a story after the news, after the election in 2007. They interviewed, everybody they interviewed was either CL candidates or supporters. Nobody from any other side, no other independents were interviewed. Pardon? No, he was not interviewed. I've got it on tape. Siegel, Sherry, Lazar, Bensky, that's who was interviewed. That's it. Now, one last thing. In a shareholder's derivative suit, the corporation is named as a defendant for procedural reasons only.
Thank you, Richard. Bob English.
Yeah, hi, I'm Bob English. I've been a lifelong supporter of KPFA, and I've been active in the Free Pacifica movement and the listener movement for democracy in Pacifica since 1999, so I certainly second the comments of Virginia and John Sheridan. I appreciate the discussion of the news report and journalistic integrity, but now that if the KPFA news can report the results of an executive session that's supposed to be confidential, I have to ask, why do you hold closed sessions at all? They're attended by people who can feed information directly or indirectly to the news directors. So maybe you should meet in public so that at least we can determine whether these news reports are accurate, biased, or whether they're just spun like Fox News. Okay, so I started last week to rebut the talking points that were made by the GM supporters and expanded on the news. The issue of fiscal responsibility has been thoroughly reviewed with the loss of a $385,000 check in the middle of repeated urgent fund drives and the station nearly going broke. But the news reported that as forced resignation due to a dispute over a financial transaction with Pacifica. I'd like to know what part of that is disputed. This failure is beyond incompetence. It has to be intentional. And it would result in termination in any organization. Now, but more importantly, even that prior station boards and their treasurers in the years of the general manager's tenure have repeatedly advised that the level of staffing with over 40 FTE paid staff is unsustainable and would lead to this kind of crisis. Now, this kind of staffing is the function of the continuation of the healthy station model, whereas a lot of us have a longer view that KPFA is supposed to be a community station staffed mainly by volunteers plus as many or few paid staff as can be afforded by our income. But now our volunteer staff and programmers have no budget support for their program or personal expenses. Now, the point about the majority of staff supporting the general manager has been thoroughly rebutted by other speakers. The petition, the petition came, after the arrest and beating of Nadia Foster.
30 seconds.
And it's a result of a management style and divided culture that's supported by management. And I think many of those staff are waiting for a staff recall election that's being obstructed and should be discussed in public session. Now, then there's a business about it being a hasty process. We know that the GM has been evaluated over the last 5 years, and these results are obviously available to the station board members who voted. And it also overlooks the problem that there was a layer of review after this board. The LSB cannot fire a general manager by itself. It has to be reviewed and implemented beyond that.
Kurt Gray, and as time is pressing, I'll ask people to keep the comments to 2 minutes.
Oh, great.
Let's both extend the time.
I'll try to be as quick as possible, but my subjects are long, and it would help to have a little bit of history. It's not about anything that anybody's discussing today. It's about the long view. I've heard that my understanding... first, let me give a quick... history. About 10 years ago, there was a window for applications for translator signals in KPFA in Northern California, and I pushed to have the Pacifica try to get some of those signals and put applications in. And most of them, when you put applications into the FCC, it just disappears for a while, and there doesn't seem to be any way of influencing the process. My understanding is that perhaps, seemingly, there's been approval for KPFA to have a signal in downtown Santa Cruz. Has anybody on the board heard about this? Okay. Well, I got that, as I understand it, from Don Musell, who's Pacifica engineer, from my inquiring to him. He says he didn't communicate very well, but apparently there's no money to put the thing on the air, and, of course, it has to go on the air by a certain time or you lose the permit. So what I'm here to say about that is, if the local board, with the help of the executive director, wants to form a committee to try to raise that money independent of the regular fundraising, but it is money for KPFA, and especially raise money amongst people in Santa Cruz to get that on the air, I would help with that work, okay? Since I'm the one who sort of started the process, I don't want it to die amongst all the fights that have in the meantime. Second thing has to do with the development of the property. Pacifica or KPFA owns the entire corner, including the parking lot. I know there's been some talk about developing the restaurant area. My main concern about that is I think that that KPFA and Pacifica is going to need to be able to expand, and people need to be looking, assuming that you don't go broke and disappear in the next 2 or 3 years, that if you're here in 10 or 20 years, you're going to want more room. Part of the problems at KPFA with the factions is that the original building was very poorly designed, and everybody's fighting over space all the time. Okay, so I'm suggesting that the Pacifica board form a committee to look at the long-term use of the entire property, including the airspace and above the parking lot, and I would help with that also, and that no approval be given to any development in the corner space that might in some way block that further development that'll have to happen. Okay, and I'm willing to help on both of those discrete projects, which I think are a win for everybody, and hopefully there's no side in that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Brian Shiratsuki.
Chair, we are locked into a 245 executive session.
Can we also extend the time? What's?
I'm the last one.
No, there are. No, there are three others.
You would be violating your requirement for 30 minutes of public comment at each meeting if you don't do 30 minutes.
You need to extend for 10 minutes. Motion to extend for 10 minutes. The thing is, what I'm saying is, we passed an agenda.
I have a motion on the floor to extend for 10 minutes.
The point of order is, we passed an agenda. Okay? Right. If we want to suspend that agenda.
This is public comment. Call your member to order.
He had a point of order. But okay. And we have a motion to suspend the agenda and extend by 2 minutes.
10 minutes.
Is there any objection?
No objection.
See. Warren, did you object? Okay. After Brian, there are 1, 2, 3. That's it?
Yeah, this is fine.
I recommend we stick with 2 minutes in the future.
Okay. Excuse me, there's a member of the audience gesturing. What's your name, please? Yes. Okay, seeing no objection, the public comment is extended 10 minutes. Please continue, Brian Shiratsuki.
Okay. I'm here to say that I think you're looking in the wrong direction. I don't know that you should be looking at what your reporter did. I think that you should be looking at the fact that one or more members of this body went and talked to the press about a personnel action that happened in executive session.
Yeah.
And you should probably be looking internally to find out who it was and conducted themselves adverse to the interests of the foundation. And on that note, I think on the business of recalling Delegate Teekert, you're also looking in the wrong direction, because I think those charges are fairly preposterous, or at least the one that stood the PNB test. I think that more important with regard to the $375,000 that was held undeposited for a year is that GM Reggio did not come up with that idea on her own. I think that one or more members of this body or last year's body advised her that that was a good idea. Somebody told her that it would be a good idea to not deposit that check until something happened. I'm not quite sure what. And I think that you should probably find out who that was, because that is conduct adverse to the interest of the foundation, much more so than whatever Edwards Teekert is accused of. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Norma?
Norma Harrison, and I'm with the Peace and Freedom Party and other things. I object to the fact that the station. Now, I don't do a lot of research, you know, so I don't know. I may be making allegations which don't have foundation, so you can check that out. But this is what it feels like. The station follows common commercial kind of radio, how it's supposed to be, and that's not what we're about. We're about serving the community. To this end, we need to have people on the ground at every kind of organizing effort that goes on, meetings, demonstrations, discussions, so forth. Pick them, do them all the time, and spend the money on that kind of thing instead of developing radio personalities, which I think is one of the things that the money goes for. And again, that's the kind of thing I'm just guessing is the case. Have the equipment and the individuals. There are a lot of people who are extremely well able to discuss things like what's in the Nation magazine, what's in the Monthly Review, and explain it with people and have discussions so that we have an intelligent, educated populace here that's making demands that have to that are well educated because we have this radio station, as well as well aware of the activism that is going on to further the kinds of things that are of interest, are of concern to us. The, yeah, that's pretty much, overall what the point is of what I have to say in extensive detail. Also, there's good reason to argue against the Democracy Act issue. It's a good discussion. I'm not pointing one way or another, but there's a good reason to say that the two-thirds is not going to be the choice. If we vote for majority rule, we're still going to get shit.
Okay, thank you. Cynthia Morse.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Morris. I'm a Berkeley resident. I listen to KFPFA, and this is my first meeting. So I'd like to just have some input a little bit. I'd like to come back to meetings and see that things are accomplished. So my observation, which I want to give, is that I would expect that anybody who wants to be on the board and has chosen to be on the board implicitly agrees to abide by, and I'm taking a guess here, but meetings are supposed to go by Robert's Rule of Order.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I just wanted there. Okay, so I would expect that all the adults here, being a little sarcasm, but I'm stunned at the behavior here. The basics of this station and nonprofit and boards are fiduciary responsibilities to, in this case, I would say the listeners and the people who give money to have this place run. And fiduciary responsibility, in some cases, I would think would be to follow Robert's Rules of Orders. If you don't know them, to learn them as a part of being a board member. And once you know them, to follow them. I don't know about what generation we're talking about. I learned Robert's Rules of Orders in grade school. All right. And if somebody doesn't, then they need to learn. The reasons for Robert's Rules of Orders, they're not perfect, but they've been developed to ensure fairness, to level the playing field in a meeting like this. And speaking out of turn, talking loudly to push other people down when you're out of order, to say it's not going to kill you to listen when you're out of order, I would say there need to be some sort of consequences for that kind of behavior. This is just not, I've never seen a meeting like this. That's my input. I'd like to continue perhaps in some community involvement, which I agree is a very important thing for a radio station or a city.
30 seconds.
But I especially think for a community-based, nonprofit, donor-supported organization. That was 2 points. That's enough.
Okay, thank you. Stan Woods is our final commenter.
Yes, my name is Stan Woods. My voice is a bit off today. I'm a bit ill. Former member of the KPFA local station board. I want to go back to the earlier discussion about journalistic integrity and the right of journalists to protect their sources and the need to defend journalists. You know, I was in the courtroom, and actually Henry Knorr was too, when charges were dismissed against J.R. Vowrey. The courtroom was packed. There were not only political allies of J.R.'s from his admittedly radical organization, Prisoners of Conscience, but people from NAACP, ministers, people from the Nation of Islam. But guess who wasn't there? Nobody from the KPFA News Department. Now, let's make this clear. It isn't a matter whether you agree or disagree with J.R.'s particular ideology or his particular slant on the news. If Brian Edwards Tigard had been managed to get arrested on March 4th while he was covering the demonstrations against education cuts, I would be in the courtroom despite my huge differences with Brian Edwards Tigard on KPFA-related matters. That's what standing up for your people means, and that's what injury to one is injury to all means. And I've seen very little of it. I've seen that often not practiced at KPFA. People talked about how J.R., somebody mentioned, well, right before his trial, he did manage to get on the morning show. Okay. Flashpoints. Of course, flashpoints would defend one of their staffers, one of their people, one of the people they stand beside. But it shouldn't just be flashpoints. People ideologically miles away from J.R. should have been defending them. The station as a whole should have had a fundraiser for him. I don't know how he's going to pay for the attorney's fees. And the case was absolutely bogus. They demanded of the DA's office, present your evidence. What was the charge? Attempted arson. And it was felony arson. It was, they had nothing, nothing. And the judge was no friend. He's not somebody Fox would call a bleeding heart liberal. He was the same judge that transferred Johannes Merciley's trial down to L.A. despite all the community protests that should be here in Oakland. He had previously lectured J.R. that J.R. should accept the plea deal or deal with the consequences. But he wasn't going. But the evidence, there was nothing to base the case on. So if people want your passionate proclamations to be taken more seriously, you have to defend everybody that's under attack, not just the people you agree with.
Thank you, Stan. And with that, we're overdue to begin executive session.
I have a comment
before comment?
Yeah.
On? Very well. Okay. Take the mic, please.
I just want to acknowledge that you have chaired the meeting very efficiently and fairly, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.